Thank you, Keith and Barb, for leading us with such warm hearts. And obviously, they have worked together before, I can tell. And bless you in your ministry. It's really a privilege for us to be back. It's nice to be here again. We didn't have that much snow left on the ground this morning. There's still probably about 4 inches, but you know, there's been about 10 inches this week coming down from Maynooth. It's like Beulah land down here, you know. It's green, it's nice, and everything. It's really nice to be here. And we're looking forward to Dr. Lott's presentation as well after lunch. It was very interesting last time. We had a little grandson since we were last here. That's our fifth grandchild, and that was our youngest daughter. And we were able to get away for a few days and be with him. And, you know, and you think, it's just this little tiny package, you know, less than 10 pounds. And how much joy and just hope a child brings. And, of course, that's what we're celebrating this season, is the hope and joy of the Christ child who's born for all of us. And I really genuinely hope that this Christmas season it'll just really strike us all. You know, God loves us so much, and he's given us this package of true love, pure love, that we are looking forward to celebrating in just a few days. So I'd like to ask you a question to get started here. December 31st, 1879, I know none of us were there, but any guesses what happened on December 31st, 1879? Does anybody have a history buff kind of mind where they remember what happened back, 1879, more than 100 years ago? Any guesses? Well, not quite. That was around 1776 or so, but you're getting closer. Any other guesses? No, not quite. This was actually a technical innovation, something technical. Well, I won't keep you guessing too long. It was the presentation of the first light bulb by Mr. Edison. Now, he actually did not invent the first one, because there were a couple before, but the filaments would burn out very quickly, or they were too expensive. One gentleman in England had created a light bulb with a platinum filament, which was quite expensive. But Edison was able to bring to the population the relatively cheap, long-lasting, it would last, I think, by the time he was ready, it was lasting about 1,200 hours, which is good. His first ones were shorter. And so the world changed. Now, you just think about how much we see light bulbs today. You know, everywhere you go to Canadian Tire, you can get light bulbs now that connect to the Wi-Fi or connect to the internet. I'm not sure why. You can get light bulbs that you can punch a button and it'll change color in your cupboard. You know, I mean, the world has gone crazy with light bulbs. But it is definitely a huge part of our culture and definitely changed the world. Now, there were lights before. Of course, there were oil lamps, there were gas lamps. But, you know, looking beyond that, there was a fire, just a simple fire or a candle. But think about what you've got here at the front there. You know, the Word of God is a lamp to my feet, light for my path, you know. Jesus is the light. We're going to talk about light today from that biblical perspective and see just what a profound, profound part of our life light is. They're all around us, of course, you know. But we're going to take a look at this. Light was actually only one of a flurry of inventions from Thomas Edison. You know, there was the phonograph and there was the telegraph and there were other kinds of inventions he worked on. Actually, his team. He was a real team player, had a very large team of researchers. If you ever have the chance to go to Greenfield Village, Dearborn, Michigan, it's just outside of Detroit, that is such a fascinating place. Part of it, one of the big exhibits, is Edison's workshop, which was partly brought there. You can see all these things that he worked on. Very, very smart person and a very, very far-reaching thinker. You know, many of his inventions had to do with communications and kind of shrinking the world. Think of the telegraph, how that changed the world. And then phonograph, you can hear what people sang or said. and of course then the light bulb. But the Bible is far, far more profound. God is light, we see, and we're going to see a number of scriptures. I am sure that you could recall quite a number of scriptures of light. Okay, there's just so many. As I was checking, I think I saw that the word light appears in scripture about 260 times. Okay, it's a very, very prevalent word. And here's one of the key scriptures for us as believers. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world from John 1. A little bit later from 1 John, so the Apostle John's later letter, he says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declares to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." Light is a powerful, powerful thing. Here's one other scripture that's kind of a key scripture. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Currently, where we're living at my mother's, I get up sometimes in the night to go and check the fire, keep the fire going. And there's no light in that immediate area, but I always know, okay, there's the corner of the wall. I haven't smashed my head on the wall or the door, and I don't bang things around too much. You know, after a while, you get used to it. But if you're in any place that is unfamiliar, you need a light. Otherwise, things happen that aren't so pleasant. Jesus is the light. We're going to talk about the visibility that comes, the scriptural idea of visibility, making everything visible. Purity, that is a part of light, and then vitality, light-giving life. And that's a key part of these scriptures. So let's take a look into this first one here, visibility. A little bit of light, even a little bit of light, like one of those little tiny night lights somewhere down the hall, makes things possible to see, you know. How much more does a great light, you know, imagine you're driving down the freeway some of these mornings and here the sun is coming up, shining right in the car. Very hard to see. It's so bright, you know. But at night, even a little bit of light can make a big difference. Jesus reveals himself to us as a light. Just like in the very beginning of creation, God, it was in the darkness, God created light, you know, and everything became visible. Jesus is the light who comes into our life and reveals himself to us. There's a number of factors here. He not only reveals himself to us, he reveals us to him and us to each other. Now, believe it or not, when we caught up this morning, maybe you came to church and maybe you had a word or two with your spouse about something, or maybe you had a very kind word. But you know, God knows all that. Nothing was hidden from God. God is the light. He sees everything in us. You know, it's a good thing for us. It's a good thing that he sees everything. We might have a burden in our heart. We might have some sin in our heart that we're dealing with, but God knows all that. God knows that. And that is actually a profoundly good thing. Let me give you an example, okay? Let's say you had a problem in your mouth and you had a pain and you know something's wrong and you go to the dentist, but you find out that either the dentist is blind or he can't use his x-ray machine. You know, would you feel comfortable? Would you carry on with your examination with him? He can't see anything or he can't x-ray anything. Would you say, "Oh, well, no problem. Just do your best. Just do your best. You know, I've got this pain. Just do what you have to do." No, of course not. We would want the dentist to have a very good view of what is wrong in our mouth. God has a very good view of what is going on in our heart. That's not a surprise to him. The surprise is that we sometimes forget it, and we sometimes don't see him. There's no problem with his visibility. How do we actually see Jesus, though? How do we understand him and his goals and what he does as he comes to us and he begins to work in our heart? How do we understand all that he is really the challenge. There is no challenge for him to understand us, okay? Sometimes that makes us feel a little uncomfortable. I think it's a very good thing. God knows exactly what's going on in my heart. So what do we see in Jesus? Well, as your sign says, God's word is light. When you open the Bible, when you open the scriptures, God begins to shine through the pages of our life. Okay, that is for sure. He's done it through all of time. Do we see his compassion? Do you know that he's compassionate for you personally today? Do you know that he cares deeply about you? We've prayed about some of the physical requests for people this morning. Do we realize he has tremendous compassion for us personally, our inner feelings about things, about ourselves and so forth? Compassion. Do we see Jesus' compassion? Do we see his love, his self-sacrifice? We pray about it. We come in the early service and commemorate what he did for us. That self-sacrifice is not just in that early service. It's all through the week. God is praying for us. He's interceding for us. You know, Jesus loves us. He cares for us. I think that's a tremendous thing. That's one of the things that I want to see better about Jesus. I want the light of God to reveal all of Jesus to me because it is just so marvelous. His commitment, his understanding of our weaknesses. If I say I don't have weaknesses, that is a tremendous misstatement. You know, of course we have weaknesses. If you want to see my weaknesses, just take me back by the candies and the cookies in the other room. You'll see some of them very, very quickly. But God knows all that. God is trying to establish us in our walk of faith, and we need to see that. So do we use God's word to instruct us about who Jesus is, how he feels about us, how he sees us, how he sees us relating to each other? Do we ask God, God, shine your light into all of these areas so I can see how you are working in my life? You know, it's a matter of visibility. Remember, there's no challenge to him to see us. The challenge is, how do we see him? Well, Edison knew that people would buy the light. It was a practical idea. He knew that. The bulb would need to last. As I said, that was one of the early challenges. I think the early filaments, I heard that he tried over 1,500 different filaments, and some would last a few seconds, some would last a few minutes, some would last a few hours. Apparently, he finally settled, and I found this hard to believe, he finally settled on a carbonized bamboo filament. I had no idea. That one would last for a long time. And that was a big step forward. And of course, they don't use that now. But, you know, he just kept experimenting. It would have to endure if it would ever be practical for people. A light that burned out quickly would have no use, really. So his first one lasted about 14 hours. Later on, they'd last around 1,200 hours, which was a good amount of time. We've got all these LEDs now, which are even better, you know, 10,000 hours, 15,000 hours, and so forth. I like what is said here by Edison. He said, our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time. Now, I say that. That's a technical man talking about a technical challenge with a good idea. But, you know, do we sometimes just kind of fall back from trying to understand how Jesus sees us and trying to understand who Jesus is? Maybe we need to go back into the scripture, open it up as a light, and see again just the depth of Jesus' love for us, for our families, for our neighbors, for the whole world, some who live in very, very difficult circumstances. I'm so pleased to see in your bulletins there's an emphasis there on the food bank. You know, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Especially at Christmas, but not just at Christmas. So let's continue to look ahead and to see Jesus who lights up all of creation. He never fades, never burns out, never fails or stops or ceases or anything like that. Back in Isaiah, one of the most famous scriptures about light is the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Carol and I, as you probably know, we were away for many years. We were overseas, three different countries, and there was some real darkness, real darkness in those countries, you know. Honduras was a beautiful country with very, very fine, friendly people. They had a really high murder rate. At the time we were there, it was the highest murder rate in the world. It's kind of a drug trafficking alleyway between South America and North America, and it's really a bad. There was really a lot of crime, a lot of murder rate. They had a very, very low suicide rate. Isn't that strange? You know, suicide rate was very low. Murder rate, the highest in the world. So from there, we went to Korea, South Korea. South Korea had the world's highest suicide rate at that time. Okay, I don't know if it's changed. It often goes back and forth between Japan and South Korea. They had a very low murder rate. You know, life is strange and people are stressed by different things, you know. There's darkness around the world, you know. But the people who see Jesus and learn of his love begin to have some hope for the future. And they have hope they can share with others, and that's exactly what Isaiah was saying. You know, that we live in a land, even of some darkness here in Canada, although there's many blessings here. Let's try to encourage others around us with the hope of Jesus. In John chapter 4, Jesus meets a woman at the well. He already knows everything about her. He says, you've had five husbands. You're living with your sixth partner, okay? He knows all that about her. It's not a surprise. She didn't come out and say, hey, did you hear about me? She didn't. She knew. He knew all about that. But the challenge is for her and the townspeople to see who Jesus is. Who is this person who knows everything about us? And she begins to realize he's a prophet. Well, he's more than a prophet. And then she finally goes back and tells the town people, you got to come out and tell, see this man who's told everything about me. You know, we all need to see who he is. And in John chapter 4, it ends by saying, you know, we know he's really the Savior of the world. There's a message that we can share today. It's the challenge is for us to see Jesus, who he is. Well, visibility is that challenge. A little bit more about visibility. Paul shows that there is a serious flaw in our understanding. If we don't believe who Jesus is, we can't quite see him. You know, and he says here in 2 Corinthians, I'll just read part of this. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Okay, so there's something that doesn't quite click or connect until we believe. Now you may say, well, Ivan, that sounds kind of spooky. That's like, what is this, this unseen power? Faith, okay? Well, do any of you see gravity? Any of you see some gravity lying around here? You know, we're all feeling it. We don't see it. Your cell phones, you know, you've got those waves going in and out of the building. Sometimes your phone goes off in church. That happens, you know? We don't see those waves, but they're happening to us. And, of course, there's heat and there's sound and all kinds of things around us happening that we don't see. Faith is an unseen power, unseen force that until we believe who Jesus is, we're going to be disconnected, okay? It's kind of like Edison and that light bulb. We're just not connected. But somehow, through the miracle of faith, when we start to understand what the scripture is saying about Jesus and we believe, our mind begins to be awakened, okay? So it's a challenge. Now, Jesus explained this one time to Nicodemus. He said, this is the verdict. Nicodemus came to see him at night. You know, he didn't want to be in the daytime. Didn't want too much attention. And he said to Nicodemus, light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. That's what light does. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. I believe that Nicodemus becomes a believer. You know, if you read in the Gospels near the end, he's one of the ones who helps to prepare the body of Christ after Jesus' crucifixion. So I think he had a spiritual awakening. But Jesus knew that, at first at least, there was this reluctance to get too close to the light, okay? Light is a little bit antagonistic until we believe, and that's where we find. Let's go on to purity now, okay? Paul talks about in Corinthians, it says, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. That's what God does. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Now, purity comes about as a factor of light in our life. Okay, we're going to take a look at this. There's actually a purifying effect of God's light shining in our heart. Okay, sometimes it's a little uncomfortable, but it always has a good result. It's like that dentist again. You know, we want the dentist to see, to fix our teeth, to help us be healthy. Okay, so as we see Jesus clearly, we understand there is no flaw in his light. There's no shortcoming. There's no deficiency. It's always the pure light. I never have to worry about, is Jesus going to be good today? Is he going to be kind? Is he going to be loving? He's always that way. Okay, there's no deficiency in his light whatsoever. My response is where the challenge is. My response. His love for me, though, and for you, is not based on my qualities or your qualities. Jesus' love is pouring out of his heart because he's God, because he's Jesus. He's filled with love for you. Okay? There is a purifying reality of his love as I understand it. It's pouring into my heart. I can practice it and reflect it and live it out, and that just seems to build on itself then. Okay? It's a purifying factor, his light. There's no darkness in him. So the more light I get of him in my life, the more things begin to brighten up. We should not expect a change or weakening in his heart, of course. Okay? We are only beginning to understand the depths of his pure love and redemption. He's bringing us out of the darkness, as was said by 1 John. You know, we walk in the light. He's purifying us. He's purifying us. This is where it is again. You know, he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. In God's presence and fellowship, we are purified. Now, you can go down to Home Depot and get one of these ultraviolet sterilizers. You know those that you put your household water through them and then your household water is purified? Amazing. Ultraviolet sterilizer, you know? Well, the heavenly sterilizer is even better. The heavenly sterilizer that comes from Jesus shines throughout my life, and I begin to experience, step by step, day by day, a purifying impact. And I think we need to realize that. And of course, I don't want to walk in the darkness, or I don't want to walk in fellowship with evil, because when the light is shining brighter and brighter, I realize that's not the way to go. That's not the place for me to be. That's not the thing for me to do. I want to walk with Jesus, who shines his light into my life and changes me. Okay? Here's what Paul says in Ephesians. He says, has nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Once again, the light. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Well, I know, because I'm disobedient sometime, okay? And that's just what God is working at in my personal life, okay? Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful verse to wake up to in the morning, to think about that? I think it's very, very beautiful. Let's talk about vitality. We've talked about visibility. Remember, the challenge is for us. That's the challenge, okay, to see Jesus. Purity. He's always pure. The challenge is for me to stay in his light, walk in his light. Now, vitality. I looked at these two pictures, and I just thought, you know, that tree will still be there at night, and I guess the butterflies go somewhere at night. But it sure is not the same picture or the same idea without the light, you know. Those are beautiful pictures. Can you imagine looking out at the beautiful fields of Sterling on a spring day or a spring night, you know, with no moon? It's the same place, but it's just so beautiful with all that light. The vitality that comes to the earth at the day of creation, You know, when God makes the light and then he starts to fill creation with all the beautiful plants and the animals and the sea and the creatures and so forth. And finally, humanity, you know, the crown of his creation in the light. Imagine if light was the last thing to be created. Well, it wouldn't be the same at all. So there's vitality because God is doing amazing things with his light. That light of life that, you know, probably is some beautiful picture on your screensaver or on your phone or something. It's beautiful because of the light that's in it. How wonderful that is. When Jesus spoke again to his people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Okay? Life, vitality, is a factor of God's light. He is pouring out life into us, not just visibility and not just purity, but actual life itself. One of the early challenges for Edison and his other colleagues was how to distribute the electricity for the light bulbs. He knew he had a light bulb, okay? It worked, it would last. But how do you now get electricity from all these sources of electricity to people's houses? You know, they had to have a distribution system. And if you like history, this is one of the most fascinating stories called the War of the Currents. You know, War of the Currents, not red currents, but the electrical current. There was AC and there was DC. And AC, alternating current, was the brainchild of Tesla and Westinghouse. They worked together. Still a big company today, Westinghouse. And of course, Tesla we hear about, but the originator of the idea is a very interesting man. And then on the other side was Edison with direct current. He felt that alternating current was maybe dangerous. He felt that direct current could be useful, but you had to have houses very close to the power plant. That was the weakness of design of direct current. You couldn't have long transmission lines with direct current. It just loses too much power. Alternating current, you could be miles and miles, hundreds of miles away. And as you may have already gone down to Niagara Falls and visited the big power plants in Niagara Falls on the American side, it was one of the early ones that Tesla worked on, the American hydro dam there. And he showed that the system of alternating current was far superior to direct current. So they're both useful, both will work with light bulbs, but one is a vastly, vastly better system. Now, there's still applications for direct current, of course. But anyway, as I say, if you ever want to read this story, it's very, very fascinating. At least it is to me. God's system is vastly superior to Tesla or Westinghouse or Edison or any of those guys. Because as I said, through faith, that unseen connection, we join in fellowship with Jesus. We somehow are now infused with his light and his power. I can't say I understand it completely, just like I don't understand many other things around me, but we begin to experience the life running through us. I hope that at this Christmas time that you'll just think about, you know, as you see all the lights and the sparkles and everything else, that you'll just think, wow, you know, God is connecting to me wherever I go in this world. There's no wires. There's no obvious means of transmission. It's the heavenly current or whatever, HC, whatever you want to call it, Jesus current, JC. It's something special, and God is working in my life. There's visibility, there's purity, and there's vitality. The vitality of Jesus in the unseen realm transforms without transformers, transforms our reality in the worldly realm. That, I think, is very encouraging. You don't have to pay your hydro bill. You'll still be connected to Jesus. I encourage you to pay your hydro bill, but you don't have to and still be connected to Jesus. Just as creation was formless and void until God created light, so our lives are lost and dark and dead until Jesus becomes our light. There might be someone here this morning who's never thought of it that way. Maybe you need to say, well, Lord, I don't totally understand it, but I think you're there. I think you can shine into me. I think you can connect to me. And your life will begin to be filled with the light of Jesus. Have you welcomed Jesus? Have you suggested that there's a place for Jesus to come into your life? He knows that already. Visibility, purity, vitality. The star is a beautiful symbol of light, of course, at Christmas time. There's one more theme I'd like to just highlight on briefly, and that is the coming light. Okay, we know that we're going to celebrate that very important star a long time ago, which led the wise men to find Jesus in Bethlehem and to celebrate his coming. There's another light coming. Scripture clearly shows that there is a new light on the way. It's going to totally boggle the mind. The Christmas star is kind of a good symbol, an early herald of what is yet to come. I'd like you to take a look at this first, though, before we go on. In 1893, okay, I wasn't there, Chicago World's Fair, okay, the Westinghouse Company displayed the lighting of the brand new Tesla system. They lit up the whole World's Fair. Never been done before. People were astonished. Look at all this light. They couldn't have imagined it before. And of course, the world has changed now, and you could go to any major city around the world and be even more spectacular with colors and motions and everything else, okay? Maybe even your picture one of these days. But in 1893, this was a big deal. Well, one person who went there was L. Frank Baum. Anybody know L. Frank Baum? The name rings a bell. He writes The Wizard of Oz, okay? And he was totally astonished by this picture of all those lights. And he wrote a story of a city that would be so bright somewhere in another land of Oz that everybody had to wear green-colored sunglasses, okay? Emerald-colored sunglasses. So in The Wizard of Oz, the city is actually not emerald. It's bright, but everybody has to wear emerald-colored sunglasses to look at it. It's just so bright, okay? And it's quite a concept, and of course a very, very popular idea and a great story about people finding out that their weaknesses are sometimes not what they thought, and they go on. The coming light in Revelation is far greater than even anything L. Frank Baum saw. And it says here, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. From Revelation. We just have a little snippet in the end of the Bible about where we really are going and what we're going to see. We can't really imagine it. You can't really imagine it, but we have a little bit there just to think about. That is the realm of the King of Light. That's the realm of Jesus. That's where he's on the throne. And it's going to absolutely bedazzle everybody's imagination. Now, sometimes artists try to think of, you know, some way of presenting it, some way of getting an idea of what that would be like, but no need for the sun, no need for the stars, the moon, no night, just light, okay? And we, in that light, will be pure, will be redeemed, will be whole in the presence of our Lord Jesus. When you go around Canadian Tire or the Walmart shelves or whatever, and you see all these little Christmas lights, and you think about coloring your cupboards and lighting up your house, I hope you'll just keep that in mind, this great, great passage that's here at the front, you know. The Word of God is just a wonderful, wonderful way to light up our life. So in this Christmas season, let's just think about God's light. Let's rejoice. Let's remember there's no challenge for God to see us, but there is a challenge for us to see and understand God and the fullness of his love for us, the depth of his purity, the possibility of becoming pure as we walk with him, and of course the vitality, the life that comes into our world, into our own being because he's the King of Kings. But then along with that, let's just remember he's coming back. And any Christmas spectacle you might see this Christmas is nothing compared to what we're going to see in the time when we finally do meet him. So please keep this all in your mind. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And let's think about the light that we're going forward to see. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, I know that you love each one of us intimately, deeply, sacrificially. And as we celebrate Christmas this year, and as we celebrate all the lights around us, help us just to rejoice and to realize that, God, you are here for us. We can walk with you, we can rejoice with you, and we can shine up the world around us in our own ways as we reflect you. Lord, help us to remember that the light always comes from you. And we just pray that you send us on our way and continue to help us to be that little light in our own part of the world. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Ivan.